mine wore away as I became so weeds among the weeds and went away. This parable is very familiar to us. We usually hear this twice a year, actually. We know that the wheat represents those who remain faithful to God. The weeds are those who have fallen away. So this being the month of February, February is dedicated to the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph. I kind of want to continue on that topic of speaking about the family, maybe an issue that plagues the family. And I want to speak about a topic that's hard to speak about, very difficult to talk about, but it's an unfortunate reality that we face. And that unfortunate reality is this, that many of our young people, baptized, catechized, raised in the faith, many young people have walked away from the faith. Why? Why does this happen? This is a question that haunts many parents. It burdens many hearts. We all know somebody personally, whether that's a son, a daughter, a sibling, or a friend, who was once among the wheat, but now seems to be choked among the weeds. There are many causes. It can be parenting. It's not always the case with good Catholics. It can be friendships, obviously worldly friendships, the culture, the media. But all those things are granted, we understand that. The main root is fallen human nature. That has always been the struggle, the battle of fallen human nature. Everyone has the ability to choose, to have a free will. I personally don't buy into the idea, the kind of this idea that the circumstances that we face today are any harder or radically different than those of past generations. That's my personal opinion. I don't think it's any different in all areas except the issue regarding the crisis in the church, the lack of clergy, and the small number of religious. I would say everything is the same except for that. I don't think the pitfalls, the moral pitfalls, are any different. We're made of the same exact stuff that past generations were made with. And you might say to yourself, well, it kind of seems like there's a lot more temptations in our world than ever before. I would not agree with that. I would say that this is a pessimistic view of the world. It's a lack of understanding and confidence in that basic truth we know in our catechism. Our Lord's words, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Yes, we know technology has advanced, has always been advancing, but this doesn't pose an obstacle to God's grace. Yes, material comforts exist, so much so that people have generally tended to get very soft in their willpower. But this doesn't pose an obstacle to God's grace either. Think of all the available means we have at our disposal, the access to information, the ability to ask for help. We might not have as many priests, but we have that ability to call priests, to be able to ask for help. We have technology at our advantage when it comes to that. We have all these helps. It is not as hard as it was the Catholics who were persecuted. We have a lot of freedom. So my main point with regard to this is that we really don't have any excuses. Those who fall away, they don't have any excuse. And that's my first general admonition or counsel. Do not allow your life to become dictated by apathy. What is apathy? You have to understand what apathy is. It's Greek in origin, the word apathy. The prefix a means without, and then patheia comes from pathos. If you're familiar with modern psychology, they define that as your emotions. It's not really correct. Technically, pathos should be your passions, which have to be ordered properly. And your passions, you have them. It's not your fault that you have them. You have to direct them towards the good. So an apathetic person is someone who does not order their passions. Therefore, they do not order their life correctly. They live in apathy. And I believe a lot of people become this way because they repeat a phrase that is very common. And they repeat that phrase over and over to themselves, or they externalize it. and it becomes a very damaging habit psychologically, spiritually. They repeat a common phrase to themselves or to others, I do not care. An apathetic person, they purposely disconnect themselves from objective reality. They repeat that over and over to themselves, I don't care. Not because they don't care, but they're rejecting objective truth. When people say they don't care, when applied to matters of faith, where to go to church, how to live a moral life, that kind of thing, simply saying, I don't care, that can take on two meanings. That phrase can take on two meanings. It can either be innocent and things that are indifferent. I don't care means I don't have a preference. But when that is applied to something that we have the moral obligation to know, something that someone in good conscience cannot sweep under the rug, so to speak, then I don't care becomes this. It takes on a second meaning, and this is always the prevalent meaning. I don't care sounds like this. I have more at stake than I'm willing to acknowledge. I have more to lose than I care to admit. Such a person who says, I don't care in this way is wholeheartedly willing to lose their soul. That attitude, that lack of faith, they are willing to lose their soul. Why? Because they deny objective reality. The proofs are there. The historical arguments for the faith, the philosophical argument for the faith, everything, it all ties in together and can be proved easily. Every person that has this error that falls, that makes this fall, they lose the faith. They give in to those doubts. They fall into the trap. The trap is there. We all experience a little bit, some of it during our life, no matter when or how much. We all experience at least a bit of that. But the person who has fallen away fully consents to that temptation. And it's basically a realization, or it's, I should say, the lack of realization of what is the value of their soul. Someone who is willing to risk losing their soul doesn't comprehend the value of their soul. They have lost the faith. They don't no longer believe that that is worth anything. So that's why they live their life. They live a loose life, a loose moral life. We have to realize that every person has a soul. They have an immortal soul. How do we know this? How do we know we have a soul? How do we know it's immortal? Have you ever asked yourself that question? How do I know that I have an immortal soul? Obviously, we know from sacred scripture, but how, based upon reason, can we know for a fact that we have an immortal soul? It's very simple. Every human being is distinct. What makes us distinct? Is it our body? Well, yes and no. It isn't the body that remains once we die. It is the body that remains once we die. That is the thing that we see. The body is there. It returns to dust from which it came. But there's still the memory of that person that exists. So what is that thing? The life principle, who you are, the I, me, what is that? That is the soul. It has to exist. If not, we would all be the same thing, combined into one thinking thing. That's not how it works. We're separate. We have different bodies, we have different souls. And then we ask, well, how do we know that our soul is immortal? How do we know that it will persist on, carry on living, after our body is separated from our soul? How do we know that? Well, we know that we have in us things that are called supernatural faculties. These are things that nature does not give us. It has to be supernatural. We have an intellect, we have reason, intellect, reason, and a free will. Those two faculties, intellect, reason, free will, they're supernatural things. Nothing in the nature, the natural world, gives life to those things. So when the nature dies, passes away, those things remain. Just as you have a memory of your loved one when they die, that doesn't just fade away and you have no existing memory of that person. They truly existed. That's because they have an intellect, they have a will. And those things are immortal. We have to realize that we're not slaves of instinct like the animals. We have an intellect and a free will. We have a conscience. Therefore, we're bound to know truth. We're bound to seek after the basic truths that we need to know to live a moral life. We can't escape from that logic. Because we have the use of reason, because we have a conscience, you can't sweep that under the rug. It's impossible. It's always going to call out and yell at you when you transgress the natural law, the divine law. Animals do not have that. They have instincts. And so this ties into the point that we made already. We don't have any excuses. Because if God created us with a soul that's going to live on, it's a supernatural thing, it doesn't come from nature. God is going to provide us with what we need to preserve that supernatural soul. He's not going to just let it fall astray without our consent. He's going to help us. That ties into the verse that we know very well from our catechism, and we should know that very well, that my grace is sufficient for thee. So we ask ourselves, what happens to a soul when they fall away? Whether that's a young person or middle-aged or old person. What happens to that person? Why do they fall away? St. Thomas Aquinas, he gives us the answer. He says that men fall into a spiritual blindness in one of two ways. Either deliberately, they want to, they make an act of will to do so, or they allow themselves to be distracted to the point that truth is not appealing anymore. It means nothing, because they're too distracted with the things of this world. So objective truth means nothing to them. And that's why you get, I don't know if you've had this experience, I have. I've had many of these experiences. You talk to people who have fallen away, and you get some very ridiculous answers. You ask them if they were baptized Catholic and they're raised in the faith, why did you fall away? And they say ridiculous things. Well, I had doubts. I just didn't feel like it was right. It's about my feelings. Or I'm taking a different path, as if you're the first person ever to have that thought. I've heard that many times. In fact, I grew up with a lot of young people that fell away from the faith. Their answers are never something, it's never a theological dissertation. It's never something objective, rooted in truth. It's always an excuse, to put it bluntly. People fall away not because they study the faith and they come to this conclusion and they can disprove it based upon this evidence and these facts. It's always they fall away because they fell into the easy route. They chose the easy path. They didn't choose the harder path. They chose the easy way out. And it's cowardly, absolutely cowardly. You can get two responses from someone who's fallen away. Usually anger. If it's not anger, you get this perplexed reaction from somebody. It's like they've never really come to terms with why they fell away. They're almost confused themselves why they fell away. Why is that? The reason is because they gave into sin. They're blinded by their passions. Once again, apathy. Not controlling the passions. They've lost the use of searching after objective truth. Usually, especially with young people, the main starting point of this walking away from the faith is usually with the temptation against the strongest of our passions, our animal passions within us. What is that? That is our passion to love and to give our love. So purity. Usually that's the first attack. Why? Because it's the most prevalent, the most powerful human passion we have. That's going to be the first attack of the devil. Very common. The person won't realize that. The person who's fallen away, they won't recognize, I fell into this sin that led me down this path, and that's where I am today. No, they just view it as, I had doubts, I didn't feel like it was right anymore, I am taking a different path. they'll usually point you to something like a personal experience that turned them away. And once again, it's never a theological dissertation. It's always something that somebody else did. They're playing the victim card. Something that someone else did. Whether that's a priest, religious, whether that's their family, their upbringing. It's never them. It's never them recognizing that they have a guilty conscience. It's always someone else did this to me. And that's not a way to live your life. That is the definition of apathy. They take scandal in something someone else did. And the key here, the thing to remember is a very common phrase. And it says the 10,000 scandals or personal defects do not add up to one justified doubt of faith. Because those personal defects, we don't place our faith in men. Our faith is in God, and that is the key. Yes, men are God's instruments, but our faith is in God. It's an objective truth. So if someone uses that as an excuse, it's no excuse at all. It's a cop-out. It's an excuse. Our Lord says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And this is my admonition to parents, or helpful thought to parents. Do not lose hope in children who have fallen away. Do not allow yourself to be scandalized. Just as the child might be scandalized, taking false scandal or something, don't take false scandal with regard to your children falling away. They have an intellect, they have a free will. You did not cause it directly unless something reproves your conscience. They have an intellect and a free will. They have to choose to love God. So then what are we to do now with knowing some of these unfortunate cases? We have to pray and sacrifice. The first apparition at Lourdes is this week on Tuesday, the anniversary of Our Lady appearing to Bernadette at Lourdes. And Our Lady said to Saint Bernadette, pray and sacrifice for poor sinners. So maybe some of these people that they'll eventually come back by God's grace, it's taken them a while because we haven't prayed and sacrificed hard enough. Those of us who know, who see it objectively, this is the truth, this is the true way to live your life. Maybe we have not been praying enough or sacrificing enough. So let us, on this fifth Sunday after Epiphany, and coming up to the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, let us reflect on the Holy Family for the month of February. Also reflect on the intercession that Mary has on our behalf. And that our Lord wants us to succeed, and he wants to see your children succeed, and these people have fallen away, and God wants them to succeed and save their souls. But they have to will it themselves. So let us pray for these graces, that these hardened hearts will be softened, that Our Lady will soften their hearts, our Lord will give them the grace to see. And let us remember that, with regard to the parable, our Lord allows the weeds to be among the wheat. He allows that for ours and their sanctification. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.